Thank the Lord, we begin to share the message of the Hebrew from the first Sunday of March. Some people think that the author of the Hebrew may be poor. Actually, not sure. But what many biblical scholars has identified through the structure or the grammar of the Hebrew, they identify, and for sure, the author of the Hebrew, whose Greek is very good, and he is the excellent theologist. And the correct roots of the Hebrew is that every paragraph he writes begins with the Old Testament. It can be seen what the author is very familiar with the Old Testament. So the author was able to speak from the Old Testament to Christology. This is the first characteristic of the Hebrew. And what is the second characteristic? The greatest difference when comparing with the four gospel books is that the four gospels are written from the birth of the Jesus Christ to the cross of the Jesus Christ, and it stopped when it comes to a little resurrection message. But the Hebrew emphasized the work of the Jesus Christ from earth to heaven after the resurrection. And this is not mentioned in the four gospels, and this is the second characteristic of the Hebrew. What is the third characteristic of the Hebrew? It is to highlight Jesus Christ as our internal high priest. And what does the internal high priest have to do with us? The most important job for the high priest is to pray for us. And this is the third characteristic of the Hebrew. Let's take a look at a diagram here. And what is the first characteristic? Because the author of the Hebrew used the Old Testament as the background to bring out the Christology of the New Testament. And the second characteristic is the big difference from the four gospels is that Hebrew emphasized the word of the Lord after his resurrection. And the third characteristic is Jesus Christ is our internal high priest. He prayed for us every day. And we just read chapter 1, verses 1-3. The main point of the book is introduced at the beginning. We have to notice there are the two points are interrelated. The first point is God's revelation is the Jesus Christ. The second point is the Jesus redemption. And in fact, the author's purpose in writing the Hebrew was to prevent readers from turning away from the Jesus Christ and returning to the Judaism. And because the Jesus is our Redeemer, redeem us from our sin. And they want to prevent the readers from turning away from the Jesus Christ and return to the Judaism. The majority of the reader or the targets are the Jewish gospel friend. The others are those who believe in the Judaism originally. Therefore, the author used a different method to prove it, following Jesus for far more than believing in the Judaism. Why do you say that? Because the Jesus is the perfect revelation of the God. Besides, Jesus Christ has already accomplished the great work of the redemption on the cross. We also need to pay attention to it. The reader of the list later are those who come out of the Judaism and converted to Jesus Christ. So they already have the basis of Old Testament, and they try to tell us our Redeemer is the Jesus Christ. So So they just want to tell us, we believe in Jesus is far more than believe in the Judaism, because our Jesus is the perfect revelation of God. Besides, the Jesus Christ has already accomplished the great work of the redemption on the cross. We need to pay attention to the reader of the Hebrew are those who come out, those who are familiar with the Judaism. And they are doubted about the Jesus Christ. So the writer of the Hebrew write to the readers, they believe in the Judaism. They want to convert them to the Jesus Christ. And that is, we know that God tried to reveal himself to complete through his son, Jesus Christ. We will compare with the graph here. In the ancient time, in this last time or the end time, and we can comparison of the past and the present. And the second thing to the ancestor, and right now to us. So the ancestor, that's the Jewish ancestor, versus all New Testament believer. And by the prophet, versus by his son. So that's the long-awaited Messiah has come. Everybody knows that. The revelation recorded in the Old Testament and try to reveal the identity of our Jesus Christ. And we know the Old Testament starts from the Eden and has extended to the prophet Malachi. And thousands of years later, during this time, God communicated different messages to the people in the Old Testament through vision, dream, prophet message, and angel's presence and a variety of ways. There are 400 years between the Malachi and the Jesus without any revelation. So these 400 years are also called the period of silence. So during at this night time, the God through the prophets, the dream, to speak to us. So this is the greatest salvation that's come from the Jesus Christ alone. So that means let's ponder the Christology theology in this short three verses. And we discover that in this three short passage, that Jesus Christ has four characteristics. So what are these four characteristics? The first one, he has the God's name. Number two, he has the God's action, because he can create, sustain all things. Number three, he has the position of the God, because he's the heir of the all things. And then number four, he's the redeemer of the mankind. Only he can clean our sins. So in this short three passage, they already show the characteristics of the Jesus Christ. And we know the correct teaching in the Bible is very important to us. And I want to emphasize one more time, in the Bible, and the correct teaching is very important. We need to know for ourselves what the object our faith is. What does Jesus have to do with us? Jesus is not only my personal Savior, but also the hope of the mankind. And because the Jesus Christ is not only the creator of the universe, but also the judge of the mankind. So it does have the relationship. It's every one of the us on earth. If you agree, please say amen. Let's continue read the verse 45. So he, that means that Jesus Christ, so he became as much superior to the angel as the name he has inherited is superior to the hairs. For which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father. Oh, again, I will be his father and he will be my son. So what we see from here, the author used a comparative approach to highlight the identity of the Jesus Christ. Why compare with the angels? And the reason is very simple. Because the Jews, they have the knowledge of the Old Testament, and the Jews have the great respect for angels. And they know in the Old Testament that God communicated the message through the angels. And there's a lot of the event, the story, we know that God communicated the message to the human through the angel. So that's where the Jew have the greater respect for the angel. This is because they have a lot of respect. So the author of the Hebrew make a comparison between the angels and the Jesus. The name Jesus took is more noble than the name of the angels. And Jesus is far more than angels. And we know the angels are created by God. Angels were created to obey God's commands. And Bible says, angels are serving spirits. Therefore, angels cannot be worshipped by man. Only Jesus, because he is the only begotten Son of God and a Redeemer, he went to the cross for us, deserved the worship of the whole people. Today we say, to preach gospel is to preach Jesus. Let's look at a PowerPoint. Evangelism equal preaching Jesus. We need to have the clear concept here. Otherwise, when we say the evangelism is very abstracted, but actually evangelism equals the preaching Jesus. And because the main character of the gospel is the Jesus, so there is a relationship, has a relationship with everyone on the planet. So we need to have the basic foundation of the truth in the Bible. We know what is the content of the gospel. Because the main character of the gospel is the Jesus. The content of the gospel is the five major events of the Jesus, and they have the relationship with everyone on the planet. So that means the birth, death. The first one event is the birth of the Jesus, just like the Christmas is the day when Jesus Christ was born to the earth. Jesus was born for us. And Jesus also died on the cross for us. And then the God's power is win over is far more than the Satan. And all the authorities are belong to our Jesus Christ. So that's why we have to talk about the five events. It's the birth, death, resurrection, ascension, and descension of the Jesus. So it doesn't matter you spend $5 or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. We need to explain the five major events of the Jesus in when we preach the gospel. So therefore, therefore, what we proclaim is our Jesus Christ. He originally sat on the throne, but he came down to die for our sin and became our scapegoat. Why do you want to do that? Because he has mercy on us, because he loves us, because the God's will is that all people will be saved and no one will perish. And this is our God's will. We need to understand God's will and ask for God to help us. We need to understand one truth. In the entire universe, only his blood can clean the uncleanness of our human hearts. Why? Because the Jesus Christ is completely sinless. Only the sinless can replace the sinful person. Only this holy Lamb shed his precious blood for us on the cross so it can be clean our sin and it can be the Redeemer for us. Therefore, anyone who truly repents can be saved. But someone asked, how do you prove that Jesus is the only Savior? How did you answer it? How is our belief different from other religions? Bible tells us clearly. After the resurrection of the Jesus Christ, there were 10 different appearances and an exchange with his disciple. He had given the Great Commission to those who believe in God. And he wanted us to quickly share the great news with more people. Because one day, Jesus Christ will come back again. He said he will come again, and he would definitely come again. At that time, all things will be disappeared. That's not what I say. And this is the Jesus say in the Bible. Let's continue to read the 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 10 to 13. So let's read the 2 Peter, the chapter 3, 10 to 13. Let's read. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of the people are you to be? You are to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of the God and the speed is coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Let's go back to the verse number 10. By the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So when we explain the Bible, have to very carefully. When here said the Lord will come like a thief, that means the God will come in no times, and we don't know when he will come. It doesn't mean the Lord is a thief. Just to describe, we don't know the time when the Lord will come again. Let's look at the second half of the verse number 10. He's talking about, and then one day, the end of day, the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare and will be destroyed. And I did not say that. That's the God said it in the Bible. So everything you see on earth right now, one day will be disappears. And in fact, the whole thing will be destroyed. And it's really scary to think about it. And it's really scary when you think about when Jesus comes, he is going to judge the people and all the universe will be destroyed. Because the world is coming to the end, so we need to alert to pray all the time. So this is the good reminder for us. So brother and sister, we must meditate all the time. We must truly see heaven from the earth. Because a mature Christian knows how to see eternity from the momentary. I want to repeat again. A mature Christian knows how to see eternity from the momentary. Because the Hebrews tell us clearly that here on earth is not our eternal home time. We live on the earth once, just like a travel. To the end, everyone needs to get off the bus. The question is, where did you go after getting off the bus? Are you taken up to heaven by the Lord Jesus, or you were thrown down to the hell by the Jesus? And this is the matter of the person's internal life and the death. What a serious matter it is. The Bible tells us there are three types of the death. Let's look at a slide. The first one is the physical death. So we know after the Adam and Eve committed sin, so they will die one day. The second one is the separation of the soul from the Holy God. And the third one is most scary. The third is the internal forever separation. And this is the final fate for those who do not believe in Jesus. There were internal separation of the body and soul from the God. And it is terrifying to think about the internal fire of the hell. Once again, I encourage brother and sister to have the sense of the urgency in evangelism, especially to your family and your good friends. And your brothers, sisters, if they have not believed in God, and this is how dangerous. So we want everybody to act now. And do not just to listen the word. You need to act it out. And then you cannot just to sit in the sanctuary and you do not do anything. So I really worry about that, because one day when you face the God, how did you can face the God you do not do anything? So the first thing is to sow the seed of the gospel. This is the very important, the first step. So all our learning and the training are to first to sow the seeds of the gospel. So on the one hand, we need to equip the disciple of the Lord, just like we have the Sunday school, the Friday night we have the group activity. On the other hand, we can actively evangelize. The two hands will work together at the same time, and it naturally will become a virtuous cycle. So we ask God to help to recognize the Bible, reveal us the truth we need to learn from it. On Monday night, I attend a seminar for the Chinese pastor across the United States. The senior pastor, the Pastor Lin of the Chinese Bible Church in San Diego, they have a congregation around 2,000 people. And the Pastor Lin reviewed the church he served, have to preach the gospel in the past 5 years. Yes, they did, but he discovered there's the six area of the deficiency. One is inadequate support, inadequate initiative, inadequate coherence, inadequate dynamic, inadequate university, inadequate priority. So they find out there's the six area of the deficiency. So they adopted the happiness group promoted by the Kaohsiung Blessing Church. Since the promotion, for more than 2 years, the church have obviously grown. There are 800 people in their Cantonese group. originally only 4% of the people participate in evangelism, but after the strategy of the happiness group has adopted, the number of the people who participate as high as the 36%. So they have been grown from 4% to 36%. This is a very exciting thing, the rise for 9-4 growth. So that's why the Pastor Ling shared this for us, to us. In fact, the Heavenly Schools are to invite a new friend through the different groups working together twice a year. And each time is about 4 to 6 weeks. And it's very simple. They do not have any special. You just need to do it. And that means all the small groups in a church during these 4 to 6 weeks, and you would devote all your time, your effort, and how to connect the new friends and welcome the old friend back. And this is very simple. And the Pastor Ling, from the lesson from the pastor promoting to help these groups, they find out the three lessons. The first one, we need to activity invite. So that's when we say the active invitation. Did you verbally invite your coworker, your neighbor, come to our church? And because the Bible tells us, the Son of the Man come to save the lost. If you consider the intention of the God, and Jesus will give up his throne on the heaven and came down to the earth to save the lost. So if you want to be the disciple of the Lord, you need to be active, invite your friends. Second thing is warm welcome. We accept all people without asking about their past. Just like the prodigal son accepted by his father. So it's important to help the new friend build a sense of the belonging. Because the belongs go first, beliefs comes after. And this is the very simple truth. The third point, the third lesson, is talking about the precious culture. Because everyone is the precious in God's eyes. Do you agree? Because everyone is the precious in God's eye. Just like the core value of the inland mission. All peoples are precious. All people. It doesn't matter you are the red, yellow, white, or brown. All peoples are precious in God's eye. So anyone who comes to our group, our church, we cherish him or her very much. They will feel the love and welcome from the brothers and sisters. And this is so easy to do. So we need to be more active and to be mobilized for our church. So we need to have our talent, intelligence, to be used by God. A lot of time we only have a lot of it, but we really not use it to act out. So whether it is the Bible Church in San Diego or the Chinese Baptist Church in the Los Angeles, when they promote the happiness group, the whole church becomes very active. And they become very active, the church, and preach the gospel. And it's not just about spreading the gospel outreach, but more important, in the process of the spreading the gospel, it is actually a good disciple training. In the past, I have been advocated to apply what you learn. In the past, the theory we have learned need to be applied to the real life. And it's very important to learn and apply and put the theory and the practice together. And it will be naturally be effective. Will there be difficulty? Definitely will, because we are fighting a spiritual war. The more aggressive we evangelize, the more annoyed our enemy devil gets. However, we do not need to worry, because our Lord is the Lord over Satan. What's more, all authority in heaven and earth belong to our Lord. Especially when we preach the gospel, we are more able to relay the presence of the Lord. Did you agree? And you will say amen. Another feature of the happiness group is that who give birth and who raise. And I believe you know what I mean. That means not only you preach the gospel, not only you bring them to believe in God, after you bring the people to believe in the Lord, you need to continue to help the new believer for at least 2 years. And it does not mean you just bring the people to believe and be baptized, and then you just let them along. But you need to continue to help them, to equip them, to build them up. And this is the strategy of the continuous cultivation. Therefore, the happiness group must be cooperate with the Sunday school of the church. And the Sunday school is very important because we can discuss in there. And we have a PowerPoint. And you can see, I like this, the PowerPoint. And it's just like that each gear is interlocked. And the whole operation will work very well. So just like we have the seeker the classes, and we also have to have the baptism classes. So not only they have been baptized, we need to accompany the new believer at least for 2 years to help the new believer grow their spirit, and one day they could become the leader in our church. So we need to have the clear concept about this. Our church theme for this year is what? I want to challenge you. What is our theme for this year? Is to love the Lord with all your heart, love one another like yourself. Let's repeat again. Love the Lord with your heart and love one another like yourself. So that means that God gave us the two commands. We have to love the Lord with all your heart, and we have to love one another like yourself. So let us encourage each other. The whole church needs to be mobilized. We are preparing our spring festival. Why do we have this activity? It's to provide the opportunity to connect the new friend with old friends. Through the activity of the beef noodle, health lecture, fine kite, and various of the fun game, we attract the friend or the children to our church. And it provides the opportunity to know them and make friends with them. After March, the weather will get better and better. And each group can have its own activity, such like you can have outing, hiking, and fishing. And naturally, and this activity can attract the people to come to our group. And As long as you are willing to do this, the church will support you 100%. And the pastor and the church, we will 100% support you, the outreach work. So I hope I make it clearly. The work of the connection is done through the platform of the Spring Festival. Let's look at on the slide again, the diagram. Well, we know we pray all the time. A lot of people pray. And we, through the variety of activities, so we can meet the new people and welcome the old friend. And we can refer them to the small group. And we can reinforce the work of the caring and the intersection. And attending the Sunday school regularly, and then they will attend the Sunday school, and then they will attend the baptism and become disciple, and take a serious the training, the lesson, and they can join the serving team and building up the church. So what we need to do that, because what we do, try to please our God, try to fulfill the God's will, and we want to thank you, Lord. We ask the God to give us the clear goal. So the next thing is our motivation to move forward. And it is the driving force to keep the moving forward. So I want to thank you, the brother Jack, and he make this the good slide, and let us really understand this is the process to become the disciple of the Lord. We have the faith, as long as we unite together, God will bless our church. Especially after this summer, we will see the wonderful work of God. Let's go back to the Hebrew, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. And I'm going to read from the verses 6 to 9. And again, when God bring his firstborn into the world, he said that all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angel, he says, he maketh his angel spirits and his servants friend of the fire. But about you have the love, the righteousness, and the hate the wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has saved you above your campaign by anointing you with the oil of the joy. Let's pay attention to the verses number 6. It emphasizes, what is emphasized here? Again, when he emphasized, when God brings his the firstborn into the world, and they all God angel worship him. In speaking of the angel, he said, he makes his angel spirits and his servant friend of the fire. And let's look at the verse number 8. About the Son, he said, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scripture of the just will be the scriptures of your kingdom. Here talk about the Jesus, the God's throne will last forever and ever. Why in the verse 6 here, why does the author emphasize that Jesus is the firstborn son of the God? Because at that time, the Jews were very familiar with the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the elderly son in the family has a special status. And he should inherit everything in the family and have some authority in the family. And because the eldest son in the family had a special status, and since the reader of the Hebrew are the Jews from the Old Testament, so they certainly know the implication here. And Jesus Christ is the eldest son of the Heavenly Father. So the position of the Jesus Christ is very noble, and he inherits all the authority, majesty and the power bestowed upon him by the Father. So the verse 6 tells us, when God bring his firstborn into the world, he said that all God's angels worship him. Let's look at the verse 8. It's referred to Jesus Christ because the throne of the Jesus Christ is forever and ever, and the kingdom of the Jesus Christ is upright. Jesus has loved the righteousness and hated the wickedness. So what does that mean? The throne of the Jesus Christ is forever and ever. It means that he is always in charge of all things in the universe. So it means that Jesus Christ we believe, his throne is forever and ever. And how great in his power and how shocking in his majesty. So these verses help us understand the kingdom, the power, authority, and the majesty of the Jesus Christ. We should fear the Lord and away from the sin. Let's continue read the verses from 10 to 11. The verse 10 here says, he also said, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand. They will perish, but you remain, and they will wear out like a garment. So this is only two verses. And these two verses are actually from the Psalm 102, from the verse 25 to the 27. Let's read here. And the Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27. In the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all wear out like a garment, like a clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. The author of the Hebrew is very familiar with the Old Testament, and he directly applied these two verses to the Jesus Christ to illustrate that Jesus is the creator of the universe. In the verse 11, we see a stark contrast. The Lord Jesus can not only create the heaven and the earth, but he can even change the heaven and the earth. From this, we can see how great the power of the Jesus Christ is. The Bible clearly tells us that what is impossible with man is possible with God, because the power of God is immeasurable. This is the God we rely on. In the New Testament, the Jesus often reminds us not to worry, because we know who is in charge of tomorrow. But Satan often makes our faith sway and forget to focus on Jesus Christ. We often focus on the difficulties, circumstances, and most of what we hear is the bad news if we do not wake up. And we hear about all the war, the battle. What we talk are often negative. In fact, this is an area that we need immediate improvement. So that means we should cast our eye, focus on the Jesus. So we need to focus on the Jesus Christ. The points remind us, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. This means no matter how corrupted the world is, our God is still in control. It doesn't matter the disease or the battle or the war. Our Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The God is in charge of everything. And we know the things shall come will come. So your worry has no use. So the best thing is you do whatever you need to do to be honored to God and equip the people, and God will help us. Therefore, another the important test for the church is to continuously strengthen the faith of the brother and the sister. We have to keep it in mind. The God we worship is deserve our worship, because as those worship our Lord with the truth and the heart, the God will inspire us, and the God will strengthen our faith and give us more love to caring. So we have to keep in mind, the God of the Emmanuel is the God who is with us all the time. What do we have to worry about? Nothing. And we hear a lot of the testimony, or perhaps yourself have experienced the grace of the Lord. But this is enough to show that the Lord we believe is the true and the living law. And the God's the gracious and love is company us all the time. So we do not need to be afraid or worried. And fear is unit. We should be strong and courageous in the Lord. And the same way as the pastor, we are not supposed to fear. We should move forward, because the God, the gracious, is the enough for us. So let's continue to look at the verse 12. You will roll them up like the rope, like the garments, there will be changes. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. In the verses 12, the author still used the comparison approach. And speaking of the Jesus Christ, will make a complete change in the world. So we know the earth will change, but his love for us remain the same, never change. The Jesus Christ never changed. From the past, right now, even in the future, the Jesus love for us never change. And we need to thank God for that. And because this is the promise God gave to us. Meanwhile, the years of the Jesus Christ are endless. What do you say that? Because the Jesus Christ is the creator of the time and space. This is a very wonderful thing. Those of us who were created by God live under a given space and time. But our God is the creator of the time and space. To this day, even the smartest scientists on earth have no answers. The reason is very simple, easy. Because we are a finite creator. And our God, we believe, is the only creator. And his intelligence is infinite. Therefore, it is impossible for the small and the finite to comprehend this, the supreme and the infinite God. Just like an ant, how can one ant understand the thinking in the human head? It cannot understand. The reason is very easy, because it is an ant. In this way, we human cannot understand the mystery of the God's creation of the time and the space. So we need to admit we are limited. Let's continue to read the verse 13 to 14. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering the Spirit sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Did you see that? So you know the angel is minister Spirit sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So the author of the Hebrew, they the same way use the comparative the approach to highlight the identity of the Jesus Christ. In the early church, there are false teachers. They teach that God can only be known through the angels. And this is the wrong teaching. And this the heretic honor the angel, but not the Jesus Christ. So the writer of the Hebrew points out their error again. In the church at that time, some people even thought that the Jesus was the greatest archangel. This is also a wrong teaching, because the angels are spirits created by God to serve. Angels are completely obeyed to God. Of course, angels cannot be worshipped by humans. The writer of the Hebrews will help the reader to understand the majesty of the Jesus Christ by making an obvious comparison between the Jesus and the angel. The job of the angel is to be sent by God to watch over those who were saved. So just pay attention to the verse 14. Here's talking about, are not all angel ministry spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And this is the meaning of the verse 14. Today's topic is to know God's revelation. Actually, it's to know our Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing is not to have a superficial knowledge, but to have a deep and intimate relationship with Jesus. Everything we have, including our motives, thoughts, words, and action, is known to our Lord. When we first believe in the Lord, it could be said that we gain the Lord because we accepted Jesus as our Lord. But when we grow older, do we really put the God in the center of our life? Are you willing to say, God, I'm here. Please send me to the place you want me to go. When we become mature or getting older, when our faith grow, we ask that God can use us. When you are used by God, this is the big honor and the blessing to do. So we want to ask God to use us. We are so small, but we can use by our the majesty of God. It's the how wonderful thing to do. So today's topic is knowing God's revelation. Let's pray together. Dear God, we want to thank you. You revealed yourself through the Hebrews. So we know it's very important to build up an intimate relationship with Jesus. We ask God to use every one of the people in here, so we can access the participant in preach the gospel. Especially, we want to actively invite the friends to join the Spring Festival on March 19. We ask God to bless in what we do. Because the only purpose is to honor your name. All the praise and in Jesus' name. Amen.